God himself will provide the lamb. And in John chapter 1, we read, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is John the Baptist. This is in John chapter 1. This is really at the very, very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Look at the word sin there. Do you see it's singular? It's kind of like one sin, the sin of the whole world. You know, the problem that needed solving in the time of Jesus, this sin that needed dealing with, it wasn't any longer time to try and sort out this individual sin or that individual sin. The whole sin nature of mankind needed sorting out. You know? John saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We've just celebrated communion, the meal that reminds us of Jesus' sacrifice. Jesus, the Lamb of God, sacrificed for our sins. And before the sacrifice took place, God had already revealed to John the Baptist that Jesus, he is the Lamb of God, the one who comes to take away the sins of the world. Now, God told John the Baptist in advance, "Look at Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And history had been leading up to this moment since even before the creation of the world. And throughout the Old Testament, we see foreshadowing and prophecies relating to Jesus. And Isaiah tells us prophetically in Isaiah 53, "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter." Interesting how the prophet writes in the past tense about something that hasn't yet happened. It's in the future. So in the future, but he says, "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter." But even before the prophets that you think of like Isaiah, even in the book of Genesis, we read these words, "God himself will provide the lamb." So let's have a read of this account of Abraham. Abraham, who was called to sacrifice his son Isaac, foreshadowing what was to come. Do you understand what I mean by foreshadowing? Normally you think of a shadow kind of somehow behind you. But of course a foreshadow is kind of like it when it's in front of you. It's a whispering, it's a shadow that's given us a glimpse of what's to come. So we're going to read this chapter, Genesis 22. And as we read it, can you please keep aware, looking out for two things really. Looking out for similarities in this account of the sacrifice of Isaac with the sacrifice of our Jesus. Look out for the similarities, and please also look out for any differences, anything that, you know, where they're not the same. Okay? So let's have a look. Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. And then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and he loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Let's just pray. Father God, what a narrative. So much going on. How does that relate to us? How does that relate to us in our day? Oh God, would you bless us? Would you open our ears, open our hearts? Lord, would you give me the right words to speak? When faced with a passage like this, any pastor feels inadequate. How can I deliver on this, Lord? Have mercy, I pray. Amen. So let's take a closer look at this passage. And remember, as we do, Abraham was called to sacrifice his son Isaac, and he was foreshadowing what was to come in Jesus' day. So let's look out for the similarities, and let's see if there are any differences too. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Whenever God does anything with his people, have you noticed this in the Bible and in our day too? God actually chooses to work with us. He works together with us. And whenever God works with his people, we have to make ourselves available. So the very first words of Abraham in this account are very key. Abraham replied, "Here I am." And that's interesting because in Hebrews chapter 10, which is a New Testament book that gives us a glimpse about Jesus, it's not one of the Gospels, but it tells us something that we don't find in the Gospels. That's interesting. Let me read you what it says. In Hebrews 10, it says, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me." Think of this, he's talking about the whole Jesus becoming flesh, yeah? "With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. And then I said," this is Jesus speaking, "then I said, here I am. I have come to do your will, my God. Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." Abraham made himself available saying, "Here I am." Jesus made himself available saying, "Here I am." What about us? What about us? Maybe it's time for us as individuals and as families and as church to say, "Here I am. What would you have me do, Lord?" Let's look at verse 2. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Do you see how this links with Jesus? Those words, "your son, your only son who you love." Isn't there such a connection here? What about when Jesus was baptized? Do you remember when he was baptized? What did God say about him? In Matthew 3, we read that as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Abraham asks to sacrifice his son, his only son, the one he loves. And of course, there's that very, very famous verse about Jesus. You all know it off by heart. John chapter 3, verse 16. "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Are you seeing some of the similarities, yeah? Between Abraham and Isaac and Jesus' sacrifice. Let's look at verse 3. Early in the morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. Verse 3 has those very interesting words, "early in the morning." Who does that remind you of? Don't you think again of our Jesus? In Mark chapter 1, we read that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. This was Jesus' nature. This is what he did. He got up early and prayed. He stayed out at night and prayed. And I think if we have business with God, And if we're going to take our God seriously, we have got to find time. And if we can't find time, we're going to have to make time to make him our priority. Let's move on to verse 4. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I go, while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Verse 5. What does that remind you of? Who does that remind you of? Don't you think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Abraham says to his servants, "Stay here." What does Jesus say in Matthew 26? Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Do you see how many similarities? Yeah? Let's look at verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. Who does this remind you of? Again, Jesus. Abraham placed the wood for the sacrifice on his son. What did Jesus carry before the crucifixion? The wood for the sacrifice, the cross. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. God provided the lamb in the days of Abraham. God himself provided the lamb in the day of Jesus. Jesus, the Lamb of God. Let's look at verse 9. When they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Look at those words. He bound his son Isaac. Who does that remind you of? In Matthew 27, about Jesus, we read, "Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor." So do you see all the similarities between the sacrifice of Isaac and the sacrifice of Jesus? And now we get to the bit about angels and angels' intervention. And this is where we see the difference. So stick with me, please, and we'll move on. Look at verse 10. Then Abraham reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. What a massive difference now between the two accounts, the two sacrifices. See how the stories vary now. Abraham does not have to sacrifice his son. An angel has come with good news, and God has provided a lamb in a thicket. But what about Jesus? Do any angels come to rescue him when he is bound before Pilate? No angels come to his rescue, and there is no way out for Jesus, because Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But hang on a minute. Could Jesus not have called upon angels to rescue him? Of course he could. And Jesus knew that he could have called upon angels to rescue him. We read it in Matthew 26. Jesus says, "Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? Jesus knew that he could have called on angels to rescue him, but that was not part of the plan. Do you see how in Jesus' ministry, he's always doing what God has ordained in advance? And there was someone else who knew that Jesus could have called upon angels to rescue him. Who else knew that Jesus could have called upon angels? Who else? Satan. Satan had said that right back at the beginning of Jesus' ministry when he was in the wilderness. In Matthew chapter 4 we read, Satan says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike a foot against a stone." But you see, Jesus did not come as a superstar. That's the point, you see. He didn't come as a stunt man. He came as a savior, our savior. Let's get back to Abraham and Isaac. Verse 13, Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And of course, the fulfillment of the words, "The Lord will provide," they were fulfilled in the day of Jesus. And on this day, or to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies." And look at this one, verse 18, "And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Verse 18, "Through your offspring, all nations will be blessed." Who is God referring to here? Surely, again, he's referring to Jesus, the descendant of King David, the descendant of Abraham. When John the Baptist saw Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus, the Lamb of God, fulfilling God's word spoken to Abraham, the word that we've had today, God himself will provide the Lamb. And that is what this Advent season is all about. That's what this Christmas thing is all about. It's about God providing the Lamb. Father God, we want to thank you that when we were helpless and lost in our sins, at just the right time, Christ died for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for those wonderful words from Ephesians. It's by grace that we've been saved, not by works, by grace. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to understand, Lord, your love, your grace, your mercy.